Thank you, worship team. Good morning, Graham.
Good morning.
This is the day, as is every day, that the Lord has made. We'll continue to rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
Amen. So I am dying to tell you details about the quality of the potential candidate we're talking to, and I'm not allowed to, but boy, I sure could be bribed over lunch. No, that's not going to happen, but in a minute, we're gonna pray together, and we certainly want God's will and God's timing, that He, as Revelation 1 says, would open doors that no man could close, would close the doors that no man would open. Let's bow our hearts together before the Lord. So, Father, Graham Church is Your church. We pray for her, and we pray Your blessing for other churches in the area, holding up the good news of the gospel of Christ. We ask, Father, that You would continue to bless the diligent work of the elders and all that goes into the senior pastor search. Father, we pray for those in Perry and the area that were affected by Friday night's tornado. We ask that Your people would let their light shine, and the non-Christians would see their good works and glorify You, our Father in heaven. I'd also pray for people in the Hawaiian Islands, particularly Maui, that have been traumatized by so many tragic deaths. Once again, we ask that Your people would take advantage of opportunity to let their light shine. Now, Father, would You open our eyes, that we would see wonderful things out of Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Pleased to have some guests from the Powells, from Lansing here with us this morning. And sometimes Nancy's not with me. Sometimes she's not available to meet with people in the afternoon. We are available this afternoon after the second service if you would like to meet. So, All right, we're going to talk this morning about the joy of spiritual exercise. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, exercise yourself unto godliness. Then next week, I want to speak on the subject heaven. Would Tom Sawyer want to go there? Mark Twain has these characters, Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn, and they love adventure. And they love excitement. And old Miss Watson tells them that in heaven, all they'll do is wear a robe and play a harp and sing praise forever. That don't turn on teenage boys that like adventure. And so I'm going to tell you why Miss Watson was wrong from the Scriptures and give you three key concepts of what heaven is really going to be like from the Word. Heaven will be perpetual pleasure. At God's right hand, our pleasures forevermore. Heaven will be perpetual, fulfilling adventure. And heaven will be perpetual freshness, perpetually new. Gary Larson, the Far Side cartoonist, had a man on a cloud in heaven. He's playing a harp and he's bored. And over his head, the bubble says, I wish I'd brought a magazine. But that's not what heaven's going to be like. And so we're going to get in the Word next week to see the perpetual pleasures, adventure, and freshness. That's a key word to describe heaven. Then Pastor Johnny's going to preach in 2 weeks, and then I'm going to start, some of you will like this, a verse-by-verse series. Through most of the fall, we'll actually be going, Lord willing, verse-by-verse through the book of Titus. So here's our key thought for this morning. Train yourself to be godly. I think, honestly, exercise without any benefit sounds awful. What do you think? Some of us are committed to try to keep exercising. It's no fun if there's no benefit to it. What an awful thing. But the Scripture says that physical exercise is profitable for a little while. It's talking about time. But godliness is profitable for both time and eternity, here and hereafter. So I want you to think about Kevin. Kevin's desire is to play the guitar and to just enthrall thousands of people. He dreams of being at MSU. What's the big theater? Wharton Center. Kevin dreams of being at the Wharton Center and with his guitar and mastery of just enthralling thousands of people. Problem is, he doesn't like to practice. So he's sitting there learning frets and chords, and he's looking out the window, and while he's plunking away at home on the range, he sees his buddies playing ball. But imagine if in his frustration, God sends an angel that says, Kevin, the day will come in which you'll minister to and you'll entertain multitudes as a maestro of the guitar. But Kevin, you've got to practice. A man of God wrote, true spiritual self-discipline holds believers in bounds, but never in bonds. Its effect is to enlarge, expand, and liberate. When we talk about discipline or we talk about spiritual exercise, we tend to think of something negative, but really its results are always positive. Elizabeth Elliot wrote, freedom and discipline have come to be regarded as mutually exclusive, when in fact, freedom is not at all the opposite, but the final reward of discipline. So the marathoner can run 26.2 miles because she has disciplined herself to prepare. We have the discipline of speed laws and stop signs, etc., that allows us to drive, hopefully, safely. James 1:25. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives liberty, that's one of the names of the Word of God, the law of liberty, and continues to do this will be blessed. And so once again, Elizabeth Elliot reminds us that liberty and freedom are really the result of discipline or of exercise. One of the great men of the previous century was the modern prophet A.W. Tozer, founder of the Christian Alliance Church. He wrote, we must face the fact that many today are notoriously careless in their living. This attitude finds its way into the church. We have liberty, we have money, we live in comparative luxury. As a result, discipline practically has disappeared. What would a violin solo sound like if the strings were all hanging loose? Not stretched tight, not disciplined. So what you have on your little note sheet are 12 spiritual exercises. You say, Jim, are you really going to do 12? Unless I think of more. No, these aren't all, but these would be some that you would recognize that the Bible commends to us as spiritual exercises. They've been written up in numerous godly books as the classic spiritual exercise. Number one, Bible intake. Now, what I've tried to do is, in most cases, take an Old Testament verse and a New Testament verse that stresses this particular spiritual exercise. Bible intake, the unfolding of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. Psalm 19 says that the law of the Lord is perfect, giving light to those who need wisdom, making wise the foolish. Our Lord Jesus said, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. It was Daniel Webster, that great American, who said that the person who can read but does not has no advantage over the person that cannot read. And we have such opportunity to hear the Word of God, to tune into it on our phone. You can get the Word of God in a variety of translations and even commentator books for free. You can get all kinds of materials to listen on your phone at any time. I love to listen to the Word dramatized in my car as I'm driving back and forth. We have no excuse to not be able to hear and eat of that which is called the bread of life. And so I would encourage you that if you don't have a Bible reading schedule, that you would follow the one that's posted on the Graham Community Church website. You see it here in small print on our little set of notes. And most of us struggle with reading the Word if we don't have some kind of a plan, some kind of a goal. And the Bible says, whatever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, virtuous, of worthy of praise, Philippians 4:8, think on these things. So we begin to grow in the Christian life and to come to know, to fear God by Bible intake. Number two would be meditation. When God had the Israelites in a new situation with a new leader, He said to General Joshua, you've got to teach the people to take the word I've given them and to think on it. He said, this book of the law, meditate on it day and night. Then you will have success. Eastern meditation erroneously centers around the idea of emptying out the mind. Bible meditation is the idea of filling the mind. And just as a cow in the seven chambers of its stomach take the feed that it eats and digests it gradually and turns it over again and then produces milk, so meditation is the process of pondering, thinking, dwelling on. Probably the easiest New Testament word that is the same as the Old Testament word meditate is remember. Remember Jesus Christ, the Scripture says. And so what makes Bible reading actually nutritious for us? It is meditating and spiritually sucking the nutrients out of the truth. Some people have actually been diagnosed with malnutrition, not that they weren't getting plenty of calories in, but something malfunctioned in the system that they could not actually process or digest what they've eaten. Maybe we are guilty of having heard the word a lot, of attempting to read the word faithfully, but then not stopping, pausing. That Old Testament word in Psalm, Selah, stop and think about that. And I'm going to suggest that a great goal for the year ahead is that we take in the word, but then we stop and we meditate on the word. I know of no promise in the Bible other than fearing God that presents success as an option for whatever we do, except this book of the law shall not depart of your mouth, out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it, and therein you shall have success in whatever you do. Well, moving along quickly, discipline number three would be prayer. Jeremiah was inspired to write, cry out to the Lord. Philippians says, in everything by prayer and petition, present your requests to God. And it's fascinating in the Bible to see the different circumstances in which people prayed. Daniel prayed as he stood before the king. Nehemiah did as well. We have people kneeling and prostrate on the ground before God. We have people walking. We have people with hands upraised. We have people in all kinds of circumstances that are simply asking and receiving of God. That's prayer in its essence, though at times it involves praise. It involves confession. And we need to ask lest we be guilty of what James said, you have not because you ask not. Let's recommit ourselves into the summer here and the fall to take the Word in, to meditate on the Word, and then to ask of God. Well, of the classic spiritual disciplines, number 4 would be worship. David said, worship the Lord with gladness. Our Lord Jesus Christ Himself said, worship the Lord your God. We are to individually, in our heart of hearts, in times alone or with our family, to worship God. And in addition, the Scripture commends that we never forsake the assembling of ourselves together, that we might worship one another together and spur one another on to love and to good works. In the midst of difficult times, the church of Jesus Christ has worshiped from dungeons and places of poverty and persecution. The church of Christ has been unique as they are like Paul and Silas, beaten and imprisoned in the jail cell in Philippi, but they sing to the Lord. In times that are seasons of blessing, Christians know that it's right to give thanks and to worship the Lord. Classic discipline number 5 is evangelism. Isaiah said, I have made him a witness to the peoples. Now, he's actually talking about the nation of Israel, but throughout the Old Testament, we see that Israel was not given the law, the covenants, the promises, the blessings to keep them for themselves, but to let them be a light to the nations. And so I think we often miss the fact that there were probably tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people in Egypt that, as we said last week, came out of the Passover event because they worshiped God and they believed on the blood when God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. God has always intended that His people be a witness. And Jesus said, specifically concerning His followers, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. I think one thing that non-Christians and Christians have in common is fear of evangelism. And I know believers that feel like they've done well in their resisting temptation and they're trying to pray, in their giving. I don't know, I've ever met a believer who said, I am all of the evangelist that I ought to be, that I have been the witness that I know I should be. I'm going to suggest to you that unless you have some kind of a plan, you never really will be a direct witness. You certainly can, as we prayed this morning, let your light shine that people will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I've just found that I don't witness unless I have a tool to use. That's why I use the little illustrated booklet, Creator Liar. You still have them in the seats in front of you. They're available at the tables. I like this because it's all Bible, straight, Scripture. Yet it's illustrated, so kids and adults they have a hard time not reading it. And I've often just said, can I give you something that teaches what the Bible's all about in 5 minutes? Really? Yeah. Or somebody says, where do you pastor? Well, I'm interim at Graham Community Church. What do they believe? Let me show you what they believe. And I know that tracts are not really in vogue or popular these days, but for me, it's a technique that works. you find a technique for you that works, be it this or something else. And God intends that we be a light. And evangelism not only causes the unsaved by the Holy Spirit to have their eyes opened and to turn from darkness to light, to quote Acts, but it does for us wonderful things. All right, discipline number 6 is serving. Fear the Lord your God. Serve Him only. Again, David said, serve the Lord. It's the same Hebrew word as worship the Lord with gladness. And when Paul wrote to the Colossians, he said, look, do your daily task of life, not as men pleasers, only doing it for the purpose of eye service. But in Colossians 3, he says, but do it as serving the Lord, whatever it is that you do, for ultimately it is the Lord Christ you are serving. I don't mean to be redundant, but Awana is a wonderful opportunity for people who maybe don't want to give a devotional, but can listen to verses, who can help with 70 kids running around with some loving discipline. There are so many opportunities in small groups here, and special needs groups, and groups for people that are hurting. There's lots of opportunity, and lots of opportunity in our communities to serve the Lord with gladness. Well, we move along to number 7, stewardship. Honor the Lord with your wealth, Proverbs says. And Jesus, in telling many of his parables, touched on the issue of that which has been given to us has been given to us as a trust or a stewardship, not for us to abuse, but to use for God's glory. Steward is not a word that we use much anymore, but it means that I'm not the owner of all that I have. I am the caretaker for now. And that someday I will give an account to the owner. Dr. John Powell and I have the privilege of helping with a ministry called Alongside in the Kalamazoo, Michigan area that helps restore burnout pastors and missionaries. We call the Lord the owner in our meetings. And when we pray, we're praying, oh Lord, you are the owner. What should we do with this? Or what should we do with that? And so God wants us to grow in the grace of turning our cars over to Him, of taking our homes and making them available for hospitality, the stewardship of our time and our talent and our treasure, and that which we use for Him, Jesus said, will be greatly used and greatly rewarded in heaven. Number 8, fasting. Let's just skip this one. I know that you're real excited as a church to get back to the format of verse-by-verse Bible study, and we're going to be doing that starting, Lord willing, in 3 weeks. But as I was trying to think through what God would have me share in the next few months before I'm done, Lord willing, as your interim pastor, I did want to say that God is probably going to burden some of you to fast and go without food for the purpose of prayer over this very important issue of who is going to be your teaching elder, who's going to be your next senior pastor. Fasting is simply refraining from the normal pleasures of food in order to invest that time with God. The hunger pains will be a reminder of the fact that we need to hunger and thirst after God. In Isaiah 55, God said, I don't want you fasting hypocritically. I don't want you fasting for show. I want you fasting to catch my heart. And in Isaiah 55, it says that if we come before God in sincerity, then this is the kind of fast I have chosen. Some people have taught that fasting is not for today. Jesus said, when you fast, don't be like the Pharisees who are fasting for show and not for go. They put on sad, hungry-looking faces and look how righteous we are. He said, but when you fast, get alone with your Father. Fast and pray, and your Father in heaven will see and will hear. You can do a partial fast in which you simply maybe choose to take a meal and make it very simple. And instead of the time involved with the food, you spend that time with God. Some have the ability to fast for, say, 24 hours. It's actually very good for the body. Some fast for 3 days. There are wonderful good books out there. There's a book called God's Chosen Fast. There's a book about holiness via fasting. Now, all of this comes as a gift from God. It's not to be done legalistic to earn grace from God. The gospel is we do the disciplines of the Christian life because God has given us His grace. Amen? It's not about works. But I would suggest that in Graham Community Church's history, this is a time where we may call for a public fast, or where many of you may privately seek to, instead of investing the time in food prep and eating, you're spending that time praying before the Lord. Well, classic discipline number 9 includes silence and solitude. We live in such a noise-oriented society. We're bothered if the TV isn't on or the car radio isn't blaring or our cell phone. Oh, imagine our cell phone doesn't get reception for a few minutes. Psalm 62, David said, my soul waits in silence for God only. And even God in human form, God incarnate, the Lord Jesus Christ, went off to a solitary place where He could practice silence and solitude. So it's a healthy thing that many young Christians are going back to some of the disciplines of the medieval church. They're doing it not to try to earn the grace of God, but to express their thanks for the grace of God, including silence and solitude. Number 10 is journaling. David said, pour out your hearts to Him. Psalm 102 says, let this be written for a future generation, that a people not yet created may praise the Lord. Now, I've done a bunch of writing, but I'm not very good at journaling. I have a whole bunch of unfinished journals. I have a whole bunch of prayer journals that have only one entry in it. That's not very good. And yet, some of you will have rich spiritual experience as you write out your struggles, your temptations, your forgiveness, your victories, the song lyrics that bless you, the verses that minister to you. Journaling has been a great path of spiritual exercise for many people. Number 11 is learning, or the discipline of study. Proverbs 10, the wise store up knowledge. And here's a verse learned in Awana. Study to show yourself approved to God. So many of us, mesmerized by the TV or just the fact that we didn't like school, put aside books or maybe even the scriptures, and we don't spend time growing in grace. And yet it is one of the classic spiritual exercises that we can exercise ourselves unto godliness. Find a good book. There's great selections here at GCC. There are great books out there on almost every subject. What are you struggling with? God has used somebody's struggle in written form to be of help to you. Well, in all of this, discipline number 12 is perseverance. Some of us are good starters, but not good finishers. Much of the theme of the fifth book of the Bible, the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy, repetition of the law, is now that you know, Israel, do. Continue. To put it in New Testament words, don't be weary in well-doing, but continue to persevere. 2 Peter 1:6 says, add to your faith perseverance. That means hanging in there. Not easily giving up, but continuing in the disciplines of grace. By the way, some would include in the classic disciplines confession, where we express to God that we have failed to do all that we ought to do or to persevere. And it does bring glory to God. As David said, O Lord, you delight to forgive the sins of your people. Now I want to come back and stress this point again. Do be sure to understand that we're saved by God's grace through faith in Christ alone. Amen? It is not our works or living the disciplines of the Christian life. We exercise or train ourselves to be godly because His grace prompts us to do this. And so the old hymn says, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to your cross I cling. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us by the washing of regeneration, the renewal of the Holy Spirit, Titus 3:5. And so the gospel is not that we must do to receive from God. The gospel is Christ has already done for us on that bloody cross and that empty tomb what we could not do. He who was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised again for our justification, our perfect acceptance with God, Romans 4:25. Don't get caught up into thinking that you do the disciplines of the Christian life to get God's grace, but rather it is the joyful response to God's grace. It is the result, the fruit of salvation, not the cause of salvation. So, I already mentioned this, but I think as we move towards the fall, I would like for us to go back and remember the priority of Bible intake. If you're not following the reading schedule suggested, get a reading schedule. Maybe you want to read through the New Testament in the end of August and September, October, November, December. That tends to work out for a lot of people. But then not just to take in the Word, but to think on, ponder, meditate on the Word. I'm going to skip some of these references, but that's simply Psalm 1, again, that says, blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or sits in the seat of scornful, delights in the scoff, but his or her meditation is on the law of the Lord. And in this, he prospers like a tree planted by rivers of water. All right, here's Kevin. He's playing the guitar. He's bored out of his skull, but he wants someday to be at the Wharton Center. And that angel transports him 30 years into the future. And here are people mesmerized by the fruit of his discipline, by the abundance of talent that God has given him, because he has practiced. And whether it's the Christian life or running a marathon or playing a musical instrument, that which is necessary for success, that which brings results, is exercising oneself. So 2 Timothy 4:7 again says, train yourself. The word train can be translated, exercise yourself to be godly. Let's bow our hearts together before the Lord. And with our hearts quiet before the Lord, you might want to ask Him, Lord, forgive my laziness. Forgive my lack of attention in exercising myself for godliness. Father, help me to pick those disciplines, those exercises that I most need, and to persevere in them. Thank you, Lord, that your mercies are new every day, that you are faithful and good. And now we ask for your strength. In Jesus' name, amen.